explain the approach to introducing capabilities into the job.
Hey. Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming today. My name is Ibuki Omatsu, a student contributor of Redux OS. And I will talk about capability-based security in Redux OS. And I will explain how we are making Redux OS more secure by fundamentally changing the way resources are accessed or managed within the system. Once again, my name is Ibuki Omatsu. I'm a student of Tokyo Metropolitan College of Industrial Technology, Japan. I have been active contributor on Redux OS since April 2025. I worked these projects, Unix domain socket support and bulk FT passing support in on Redux. Before we dive into the details, let me introduce about Redux OS. Redux is a general purpose Unix-like microkernel-based operating system written in Rust. Because it uses Rust, it is memory safe by default. It prevents common bugs like buffer overflows, and it uses microkernel architecture. This means drivers and services run in user space. It improves reliability. If a driver crashes, the system stays alive. And we also maintain partial POSIX compatibility, making it easier to easy to port existing softwares. And finally, the Redux OS is designed to be easy to extend and easy to improve. Look at the architecture. The kernel is very small, less than 30,000 of code. And in this design, the all services like file systems and networking, also process management manager run separated programs in user space. We call these service providers schema. File operations are handled by these schemes. And to support applications, we are developing RevC. This is a C standard library written entirely in Rust. On Linux, it maps to raw system calls, but on Redux, it goes through Redux RT, the Redux runtime service. Work is ongoing to handle Redux RT, Redux RT handle transparent capability-based security. This means we can secure applications without rewriting them. Before I go deeper, let's define some key terminologies. Security in this context means minimizing risk if a program is hijacked. The sandboxing restricting a program so it can only access specific and contained environment. The other list is a simple text-based list of something that allowed, and ambient authority. Most Unix systems rely on this. It allows the resources are accessed by their name checked against the statically defined permissions. This is the opposite of capability-based. So what is capability? Think of it as an unforgeable token of authority. It refers to a specific resource with a set of rights. This is similar to file description, but it includes fine-grained permitted actions, such as ability to get the owner of this file or change setting terminal settings. And the application holds this token, but it exists in protected memory, so the application cannot forge it. In Redux, file descriptor is a reference to a capability. I will explore this concept in more depth later in the talk. We are learning from other operating systems. FreeBSD has Capscan. it allows the program to enter KVD mode to restrict itself. And the OpenBSD has Fetch and Unveil to restrict system calls and file passes. And SEL4 also uses capabilities, but broadly for system resources. So this is out of scope for the purpose of this presentation. Our main goal is making capability-based security the main mechanism for providing services and using resources. It will serve as the infrastructure and then its standard POSIX file descriptors. And we will provide APIs compatible with Capscan, WASM-WASI, and possibly Unveil. And we will also support multiple style sandboxing, includes chroot and contain. The contain is our own lightweight containerization. Eventually, its capability will apply to every resources, such as memory and processes and a file, also file, and threads. In fact, processes and threads are already also capability in Redux, since we define file descriptor is a reference to capability. So here is our the status of our current work. We initially focused on converting named resources. To achieve this, we have separated POSIX file descriptors from the Redux internal use file descriptors and moved namespace management out of the kernel into the user space. And we also implemented file descriptor sending. Soon, more general capabilities will be added to the kernel. And file descriptor will refer them directly. This might be hidden from standard POSIX applications, but it will change how the system works internally. To understand these changes, especially namespace management, we first need to review how Redux handles resources. So talk about schemes. In Redux, the scheme identifies a service or driver. All resources are accessed by scheme-rooted paths. Originally, we used legacy URI format, scheme name colon slash path to resource. That's why we still call them schemes. They originally corresponded to the scheme component of URI, but to improve compatibility, we moved to the current format, slash scheme slash scheme name slash path to resource. Let's review the traditional IO flow. How resources accessed by scheme rooted path. When an application calls some file, the WebC converts it to absolute scheme rooted path. The kernel using global namespace in the kernel to find the target scheme and dispatches a request. In this case, the file is the target scheme and the open request will reach it. Finally, scheme API converts request to file operations. In this model, the namespace logic lies inside of the kernel. Our goal is change this. We want namespace to be capabilities, not just global identifiers bound to a process. The key concept of this transition is open at system call. Open at opens a file relative to the directory file descriptor. In an unrestricted mode, it is just a convenience. But if we, however, if you limit a path to beneath that dual FD and restrict a program you call only open NAT, dual FD effectively becomes a sandbox. A program cannot see or access anything outside the directory. Based on it, we have introduced the namespace manager in user space. It sits between an application and schemes as on one of the user space scheme. Here's the flow. Application calls open. RealVC converts it to a relative open at request using namespace, a process namespace FD. The request will reach namespace manager. The namespace manager resolves the request and call open at on scheme root. The application calls only operates relative to their provided namespace FD. This allows us to remove complex scheme and namespace management from the kernel. Now, currently, schemes are created anonymously in the kernel, and they register themselves by themselves with their name and their scheme root directory. Next, let's clarify the concept of capability in Redux OS. In Redux, we don't distinguish resources and capabilities. Everything is a resource, and every handle is a capability. However, we can categorize them into two types. First is direct capabilities. These are handles that you directly operate on. This category includes the what we call resource capabilities. This points to concrete things like files and permission capabilities. It's represents our abstract rights. The second type is indirect capabilities. These are handles that's used as arguments or tokens. You don't read or write on to directory them directory. They passed as arguments. You pass them to verify your authority or providing context, like a UID FD or the directory FD. This leads us to how file descriptors work as capability handles. There is an important distinction we make here. For the application, the file descriptor is just an integer index into a table of references. But in the kernel, it maps to the file description that stores the writes. The user cannot touch file description directly. So user cannot forge them. Therefore, the possessing the open file descriptor is a proof of authority. Let's talk about how we grant capabilities. We can grant capabilities to a program by transferring them. First, the capabilities can be inherited by child process during fork and exec. Alternatively, we can grant capabilities to another program by sending it via Unix domain socket or Redux native capability forwarding. Once a capability is granted, the receiver has permission to use it. The scheme doesn't need to check UID, user ID anymore, as long as the capability is open. Look at the diagram. Here is the how file descriptor sending works. It is worth noting file descriptor sending can be implemented all schemes. In this scenario, application A sends equities to application B via the scheme acting as relay. So application A initiates sending equity. The kernel removes the equities from A's file table and temporarily holds them. And then kernel notifies the number of the target scheme, the number of equities, and the scheme obtain the equities and retrieve the indices of new equities. Oh, sorry. The orange bar indicates the current location of equities. The kernel holds them, so the orange bar moved to the kernel. The scheme obtain equities and retrieve the new scheme indices. The orange bar next shifts to the scheme. The scheme returns a response. At this point, the equities are effectively in the scheme context. For schemes, they only need to consume equities from another process. The workflow is ends here, but we want to send equities to application B. Let's continue. The next application B requests equities. The kernel notifies the scheme of number of FDs. The scheme moves FDs to the kernel to hold them. The orange bar shifts back to the kernel. Then scheme returns a response. Finally, the kernel adds FDs to application B's file table and notifies the B's of indices of equities. With the bar moves to application B's context, the file descriptor sending is complete. Next, let's look at how our sandboxing strategies. First, we use these features to support or implement two approaches. First is CH root, but adapted to the kernel, adapted to the Redux. In Linux, a process has single root, but on Redux, we can have different roots for different schemes. The namespace manager maps scheme name and scheme root, but however, the scheme root don't need to be scheme's original root, and we can register the virtual root. Now, for example, if we register a slash jail directory to as a file scheme root, all access to scheme file slash file slash is automatically confined to slash jail slash. And we also have a tool called contain. This uses trusted launcher to define an allow list of paths. This prevents confused FD problem by ensuring the process can only access exactly what launcher permits. Next, let's look at how to expand capabilities. In capability-based system, the programs usually starts with limited writes. They can drop writes, but they cannot gain them by their own. So to expand their scope, they must ask an outside agent. this is similar to Casper service on FreeBSD. In Redux, we will use file descriptor sending mechanism to grant capabilities to a process. However, we will need a validation service to verify the request is authorized. Finally, here's a future work. The future work. We want to rework file descriptor representation in user space to work on top of more general capabilities. And we will provide fine-grained write speeds into the kernel, similar to Capscan. And we will implement memory sharing mechanism with capabilities. And we will define Capscan like writes and API for file access and port the Capscan test suite. And we will also develop a Casper-like mechanism for capability escalation. And finally, we aim to provide WASI Cap SDD Rust library. Thank you very much for listening.
So we have more than enough time for questions.
Yeah.
Could you show the slide that distinguishes the resource and information?
Yep.
Yeah. I don't really see why we have to make a difference because you see you can perform this action, but for me, read write the resource is an action. So I don't see why you would have to make a difference.
Well, actually, we don't need to. He asked why we categorize direct or indirect. Actually, we don't need to categorize them into two types. But you ask. You don't understand the difference, or
why is it there? Why is that direct and indirect? So just having one type.
Yes.
Because for me, the resource capability can be a permission capability, as in you have the permission to read, you have the permission to write.
Yeah.
And maybe the permission to move in the file or all kinds of things you can do in files, for me, that the permissions actually.
Yeah, the difference of permission capability and indirect capabilities. But, so, sorry, John.
It's not really a technical difference, more useful for categorization, I guess.
Yeah. It is just for explanation.
Okay.
So there's no difference, and no technical difference. Okay.
Any more questions? Is there a limit of how many capabilities you can have? Like in the system, many kernels have like a limit.
It's just limited by the amount of memory.
It's limited by memory. Sorry. Yeah, dynamically allocated. So that's
yeah.
I understand. Okay, I guess that's
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Just out of curiosity, what's the data structure in the kernel that maps the references to the capabilities?
The kernel. Oh.
It's currently B3.
Sorry?
It's currently B3.
B3, okay. Thank you.
Yes. Every context has V3 maps for table of reference. Yeah.
Do you have any clue what is performance overhead of running capabilities in the system? Like, what is the price of having capabilities in terms of performance?
So, in this current commentary, access to capability is a system call. But if we change capability, change representation to virtual memory, we can access them without system goal. So it should improve performance. Yeah.
For separating the schemes in different paths. I mean, in the code we don't do that, and that's a lot easier because you just open a node, the path, and then you discuss with it this policy, and maybe it understands the protocol you ask for, or it does not, and you just get an error, and that's fine. And so you then open a node, maybe it's a file you can read from it, maybe it's a socket you can connect to it. And maybe it's both. Maybe it's one of them because it's something else, and that's fine. Because that would avoid completely the CH2 issue and quite a lot of issues. So is there really a technical reason for separating?
On the scheme side, there's for every file descriptor, there's just a number. The scheme implementation reads from the scheme file and gets back the operation and the number for the file descriptor.
I would suggest you discuss this offline.
I think
this might be it. So anyone else? Otherwise, I would say thank you for the talk, and
thank you for listening.